Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
How many have been praying? How many of us here, be honest, pray? Now, you know, there's a difference in prayer. There's those who quickly go through a drive-in Sonic and pick up a quick burger and thank you, Father, bless this, bless that, in Jesus' name, we'll talk to you later, and you're out. But then there are those who pray, who take time and have allotted a time during your day, during your week, however, whatever time you are able in your day, your week, to take time to seek the Lord. How many of us do that? And if you don't, it's okay, not if everybody. You're being honest. I get it. I understand that. But I can guarantee you how important, I can tell you how important it is for us to find intimate time with the Lord. The more time that you spend with God, the more familiar you become with Him. The more accustomed, the more used to Him, and the more understanding, and again, you develop a keen identity of whom the Lord is in your life. And it's like all natural things. When you have a good friend versus a best friend, who do you know better? It's normally your best friend. He's the one that you open up to. She's the one that you open and share with. You spend more time with them, so they know you intimately. So that's what prayer does when we spend time with the Lord. Amen. The second thing I'll ask you, how many of us have been hearing from God? Now, I know that that's a little bit thicker question, but how many of us can say, I have heard from God? And you're being honest, I expect more hands not to go up, and that's okay too. Amen? But it's important, I can tell you, and we're going to speak about that today, that it's important for us not only to communicate with God through prayer, but even so more, I can tell you, and I don't want to either give one more value than the other, but it's equally, if not more important, to not only speak to God, as it is important for us to hear from God. Amen? To hear from God. There are promises in Scripture that tell us if we speak to God, He will respond. Amen? That's Scripture. Yeah, you know, we could go through a dozen Scriptures plus on how the Lord encourages us to cry out to Him and He will respond to us. But we will also find equally in Scripture that there are, if not many, more blessings spoken to us if God speaks to us and leads us. Are you following me today? It's not only important for us to tell Him and to share with Him our petitions and desires, and God promises to listen to us, but He also, there's another part of our relationship with God. Otherwise, it cannot become a conversation. A conversation is when one speaks and one listens. Otherwise, you're just talking and the other person is silent, and you gain nothing from the individual you are speaking to. But in this case, with God, this relationship that with Him, there's an intercourse in conversation. There is a petitioning unto the Lord, but there is also a feeding unto us or a giving unto us from the Lord by Him speaking. How many have ever had answered petitions? I think we should see a whole bunch of hands. We have seen the answers of God when we pray. And isn't it a wonderful experience for us all to experience God answering us when we pray? I heard a man say one time that the best kind of prayer is an answered prayer. Amen? It's when you pray and God responds. Because something happens deep within you when you know God has responded. There's something bubbles up deep within you. There's a sense of love on his behalf that you feel because you feel God loves you because he cared to listen and respond to you. There's a sense of care that you feel on his behalf because obviously he heard you and cared enough to respond to you. There's a surging of faith in you because you're more confident now that when you speak to him, he is willing and able to speak back to you. And he keeps you motivated as you walk with God. Amen? There's nothing that can motivate a Christian to walk at a steady and strong pace like answered prayer. It's encouraging to know that when you speak to God, he responds to you and he answers. It causes you to want to testify to others. It even does something inwardly that you might be able to be effective outwardly to others. You, without shame, speak with others. When they're discouraged, you say to them, you remind them of God's faithfulness. You want to become helpful to others because you have experienced answered prayer. And so anyone who comes to you who is discouraged, you are quick, you are energized because God has responded to you, and you tell them, continue in your faith and hold on to the Lord, be secure and know that God will respond. He does to me all the time. You share your own stories on how I was petitioning God and God responded to me and got me out of this situation. And so here you go. It's fuel for testifying. Amen. It's fuel for testifying. You encourage him to remain firm in his word, to continue walking in his path. And you reveal your continual joy. And all is birthed because you heard from God. Nothing brings us more joy when we come to church and we hear from God. If you ever talked about a service that you've ever gone to at Rock of Ages or anywhere you may have gone, you'll speak about the one where God spoke. Amen. God is faithful. He is true. He is here all the time. He is attentive and he is able. But here comes the question. In the scripture, we never find anywhere that tells us that God is not present. There's nowhere in the Bible you will tell me that God is not present, for God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's here right now. And when you leave the sanctuary this morning, he will walk with you then. And wherever it is that you're going, he is already there. So God lives a life of there, even though to you it's here. But he will always be there. So in the Bible, we'll never find an absence of God. But in the Bible, it is given to us many instances where there are seasons of silence. There are seasons when God says nothing. Not at any time that you'll find in Scripture where he is not present. But you'll find in Scripture times when God says nothing. We have testimony after testimony in Scripture where there are gaps in the life of people, in the lives of people, where God said and chose in his sovereign will to not respond. You think of Job's life, if you read his story, there was a gap in his life where he cried out to the Lord, expecting God to respond, and heaven was brass. He heard absolutely nothing. We have the life of David crying out to God and even saying unto him, Lord, how long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear the loudness of your silence? How long do you expect me to survive? It's busting my eardrums. It's so quiet. You are not saying anything to me. We're spoken of the 400 years of the Israelites where God was silent. He said nothing at all. As I've mentioned this morning, when God answers and gives responses to your petitions, it does a lot in us to build us up. But what happens to us when He says nothing? Put your hand over your heart this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for Your goodness. I pray, Father God, that You would use me as a tool in Your hand, Father. Just a voice box, that's all I am. But it would be Your word, Father, that would speak to Your people and birth in them the fruit that You choose. Make Your word alive in them, Father, and all of us, beginning with me. Speak to us, encourage us, build us up, and grow us, Father, today, I pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God is good. Have you ever experienced such a time that I'm speaking about this morning? Has anybody ever gone to a time where God has been silent in your life? Have you gone through a time in your life where you've gone through this season where it seems that the Lord has lost His hearing to your petitions? Anybody? Can I get an honest witness? You've been asking God to respond over something and nada. Zip. Nothing. Some of us have been praying for years over things and you've heard nothing. Some of us have been praying just recently for a week over something, and until now you hear absolutely nothing. It seems that God is occupied on other things and has forgotten the sound of your voice. It's not an easy thing to experience the silence of God. As a matter of fact, all the benefits that we receive when He does speak to us, all the joy, excitement, confidence, and that vocal faith that we reveal, the benefit that encourages others, seems to fade out and seep out of who we are when God says nothing. It turns Christians right around. It makes us from worshipers to complainers. Is anybody here this morning? How many are ready to stretch out a little bit in Jesus? How many want to grow a little bit? This is why we're here this morning. We're going to grow a little bit. If you need a nursery, we have somebody waiting for you. This is for people that want to grow up. Somebody say amen loudly. Amen. Amen. Everybody in Scripture that we read about that ever had a close relationship with God, we will find in Scripture had that time of silence, that gap when God says nothing. You remember Abraham? He had been promised this gift, and then there was a gap of silence and nothing happened. And what caused, what moved, what motivated Abraham to do something beyond the voice of God was the silence. He started articulating, even with his wife, that we heard the problem he got into with Hagar. But it was a silence. God said nothing after that to him. Remember Joseph, sold by his brothers. He was a slave, a prisoner of Egypt. There was a time in his life during that suffering that God said nothing. It was obvious that God was with him. But God was not speaking to him. Remember Elijah in his battle when he thought himself he was the only prophet left. No one was talking to him from heaven. All these people and more have gone through moments of silence from God. And so we ask ourselves, because we've been speaking on how God benefits us in all ways. The Bible does say that all things work together for good. So now we address the silence of God. If we see the benefit of God when He answers us, what could we benefit and what is God doing with us to grow us when he says nothing? How can we benefit? That is the question of the hour this morning. To many people in this world, and possibly to some of us, the silence of God many times has been interpreted as the absence of God. He's not listening. He's not even here. It's been interpreted as a not so good side of God. Oh, God responds when he wants. The not so good side of the Lord in our relationship with him. For many, it has become a time where you loosen yourself to complaining and blaming, accusations against God. Why am I like this, and why aren't you doing anything about this? The world is popular for doing that. Something bad happens, where was God? Always blaming God. Don't you care for me anymore? Don't you hear me? Or is it that you can't do this for me? The silence of God is a very powerful season in the life of any Christian. And those of us who have experienced it know what I'm talking about. Because when we pray unto the Lord, we expect him to respond immediately. But all of a sudden, in his sovereign will and his love for us, he says nothing. And we quickly interpret that as his unwillingness, uncaring, or his inability. So what is God doing? And what is it that the Lord would have us to understand today? And I speak these words today in trembling, because these are things that all of us have to learn. And it will bring us to a more mature growth and relationship with the Lord for those who desire to have that relationship. See, everything God does for us and with us and through us, about us, is going to benefit you and I. It's for our spiritual development. He never does something just because he has no time or he just thought of that idea. But his purpose is always to advance us from glory to glory. Somebody say amen. It's the refining of who we are so that scripture can become true that says, on that day you will lack absolutely nothing. Is it possible that one day when Jesus comes, he will find us needing absolutely or lacking absolutely nothing? But we're going to find here, as we speak on this subject, that it challenges us in certain areas of our life. And the first thing that silence will do is it will challenge your faith. Some of us think that we walk by faith. The Bible says that the believer will walk by faith and not by sight. But it's good for us to examine ourselves, as the apostle says, to find out if we truly are a people of faith or we are a people of signs. As I said, it's easy to be motivated when we see God respond to us. That keeps us motivated. But when he doesn't, it takes us to another sphere in our walk with him. It challenges us to nothingness. What's left when God says nothing? It confronts your faith. The silence of God comes to us not to destroy your faith, to have that negative effect, but to strengthen it. In his silence, we are tested and strengthened. It moves us, ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. It moves us into a relationship based away from audible answers and grounded on certainty and truth of the heart. Are you following me today? There's people who will follow other people as long as you do something for me. But the moment that it stops coming, then they mean absolutely nothing. And as mundane and horrible as that may sound, sometimes we have that relationship with God. As long as God keeps responding, He is everything to me. But the moment He does not respond the way I want Him to, He becomes as nothing. Everyone here in this world, in our carnal state, always want a word, a sign, or something that will satisfy our eyes, ears, feelings. We're always, this is what we thrive on. This is what we feed on. Signs, something we can weigh and feel. This is why people have a hard time believing in God, because you can't put Him in a box. You can't weigh Him. You can't cut Him. You can't smell Him. You cannot box Him up. They need proof. I need to feel something, that this is real. And now, let me just say, there are times that we can ask God for signs, and God responds. Again, in Scripture, we find time and time again. I'll take you to that story in Judges chapter 6, verse 36. Remember, Gideon asked for a sign from the Lord. Amen? He was facing a big challenge, and he didn't know if he was going to succeed. Instead of just believing in the Lord of hosts, who was his God, he decided to say, Lord, well, show me that's going to be all right. So the challenge was, I'm going to take a sheep's fleece and put it outside. And if you are with me, then let it be dry in the morning. And then he got up in the morning and it was dry. He said, let me take it out again. And this time let it be wet. And God showed him, physically showed him and encouraged him through a sign and wonder. Remember Thomas? Jesus walks into that room. He had trouble believing it was him until he asked him to what? Show me the scar in your hand. What if Jesus said, no, I won't show you a thing? What would have happened to Thomas? But Jesus was gracious enough to do that and show him. Even Christ went to a time of the quietness of God. On the cross, we're getting ready to rejoice this Resurrection Sunday. What did Jesus cry on the cross? He said, Lord, Lord, why have you forsaken me? It's because heaven was silent at that moment. And that was not his first time. In Gethsemane, Mark 14, you'll find when he went to pray in the Mount of Olives, and he prayed unto the Lord. He said, Lord, if it's possible, pass this cup from me. The Bible says he was bitter in his heart. He was hurting in his heart. He went to his Father and petitioned him. He said, Lord, if it's possible, pass this cup from me. And you know what God said? You know what he said? Nothing. Nothing at all. The very next verse says that Jesus returned to the men. That's all. After he said what he said before the Father, turned around and went back with the crew. Now the Lord could have spoken to him to encourage him. He could have said, son, well, you know, this is the plan. Remember I told you, and you know, this is how it's going to happen. And don't worry, at the third day, you're going to rise. He could have encouraged him, but he did not. He said nothing. So what was Jesus relying on? On what not he had heard alone, but what he knew in his heart. There's times, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I will not hear a single thing from God. But that should never, ever change your moving forward. Should never discourage you. Well, I've been praying that this happened and God never did it. And now you're interpreting it as somehow he's not listening or doesn't care. No, God does these things at will. I have found in Scripture. Remember Mary and Martha? They went out there and they told him about his beloved Lazarus. What did Jesus do? Nothing. Nothing. He stayed in the city a few more days. They wanted their petition. They sent word to let him know so that he might get off what he was doing and run back and tend to their need right there and then. But Jesus did not. He waited. He was silent. Did nothing about the issue. You know, he got there. They were complaining. They were already moaning. If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. This is classical for Christians who need to grow up. Amen? This is a classical response for someone like me. This wouldn't have happened if you had been there, God. This is what the girls did. This is why I believe so many Christians today live up and down lives in their Christianity. This is why so many people have trouble walking a steady walk in Christ. As long as God reveals himself and everything is going good and God seems to be responding to their every whim, everything is good. But the moment God holds back to mature them, they turn around and walk away. They hang their head and nobody cares for me. I thought God did this and God would do that and the other. But he's quiet for your sake. God might be quiet in your life right now. And maybe you're here today still asking him one more time to show himself. Maybe you'll have to be ready for him to be quiet just a little bit longer. What are you going to do with that? How long will it take you to break? Or will you break at all? How long will it take you to begin to complain and the worship stops? It took about 2 or 3 days for Mary and Martha. John chapter 11, remember the story. Jesus delayed a few more days and came back. By the time he got back, they had already turned in all that fullness of confidence. They were already begin to complain to Jesus. But Jesus said to them in verse 14 of chapter 11, the book of John, he said, "For your sake, I'm glad I did nothing. For your sake, I'm glad I was not here or there." And then the next thing comes to prove what I'm telling you this morning, that sometimes God will hold back from responding to your petition. He says to them, "For your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may." And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there that you may. There was purpose behind him not doing something. There was purpose. It was their benefit that Jesus held back. And ladies and gentlemen, I know it's hard to accept, hard to believe, uncomfortable to even speak about it. But let me tell you, sometimes God will just hold things from you. Not just to simply test you and watch you squirm around as you suffer without whatever it is you're petitioning for. But to grow you, see how far you have advanced. There's going to come a time, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I may have to survive on what we have or what we see, no, but what we know deep in our heart. That's maturity. In Scripture, people went through great suffering and God did nothing. Even today, some of our parents went through great suffering as believers in the 50s, 40s, and 60s. And still, they went on to meet the Lord in good faith, walking with him. When there were no answers of progress, Jesus said, "You know, he's going to rise again." He said, "Lord, I know that on the resurrection, he's going to rise again." And I kind of see Jesus going like, "Oh, my Lord. Oh, my me. Oh, my me," maybe Jesus said. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live, even though he dies. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Ladies and gentlemen, the challenge, like I said this morning, is get us to a point to see how long we can go. How much do we believe that would carry us through a gap of silence from heaven? How long will it take you? I believe some of us are fixing to find out. Otherwise, the Lord wouldn't have given me this message. I believe this comes as an encouragement, but also as a great warning. Some of us may go through a season in the next few weeks where God will do nothing about your circumstance. And all it is to see how long you can survive on what you've packed deep in your heart as truth from Him. It'll test your faith. God will ask us, do you need me to answer at every single call? I ask you, does God have to respond to your every whim in order to keep you excited, to keep you coming to church, to keep you praying, to keep you reading the Bible, to keep you giving offerings, to give you continue serving the Lord as you did, to give testifying? Does God have to meet your every need visibly and give you whatever it is so that you can keep believing it if He wants you to carry on? Is that the kind of relationship you have with God? We need to grow up. Somebody tell your neighbor, we need to grow up. While He looks at us walk and how discouraged we are, what the Lord is teaching us is we really don't believe in Him. We really don't trust in Him. What we believe only is in proof of things. Show me and I'll believe you. But that's not the definition of faith. Ain't that true? What is the definition of faith? Simply things that you hope for, things that are unseen. He goes on to challenge us. If you see things, then is that faith? That's not faith. You don't need faith. I don't need faith to say, like, well, this is an iPad. I don't need faith to tell you that. I know it's right there. You don't need faith if you're healed right now. You need faith if you're not, that He will heal you. Come on, church. Amen. Amen. His silence is proof to us that God wants us to grow. It's never been to reveal His absence. Never. I think that the second thing that He teaches us in His silence is something that's also very important. We spoke about last week about being still and waiting on God. Remember? Sometimes pressing on isn't the best thing. I spoke to you on that subject a few weeks ago. Some of you may not remember. But it taught us the principle of learning to wait on God. Even though Paul called our lives a race, sometimes we have to stand still and know that He is God. And we learned about that. We know that life is a race. We learn how to wait for God. We learn that patience is important. We learn to follow and not lead. I told you this morning as I began to speak to you that it's important for us to speak to God, but it's important for Him to speak to us because His voice is the one that leads us. Scripture, Isaiah 45. This is what the Lord says to His anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of to subdue nations before Him, to strip kings of their armor and to open doors before him. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. And I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. God is revealing in this passage divine leadership. That is, He's the one whose voice we should listen to. He promises to be our shepherd. He is the good shepherd. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice and they follow me." It's also a declaration of protection. He said, "I will cut through bars. I will bring down mountains before you." He's talking about Him leading. He speaks about His constant presence. "I will never abandon you. I'll always be right there." So I believe that the next lesson that we need to learn if we're going to grow up in the Lord, and I believe something God would teach us in His silence, is self-control. We should call it self-awareness. John 10 and 27 says, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That means that we are to be followers of Christ. Amen? That means that we are to learn to hear his voice and follow his voice. But here's the important thing that we need to learn in order for us to mature. We need to learn to identify his voice versus other voices. And I'm going to tell you which voice this morning is the most dangerous voice you can listen to. Are you ready? Say, we're ready, Pastor. Your voice. You are your worst enemy. You are the biggest opponent that God has. You thought I was going to say Satan. The biggest problem God has in speaking to you is that you always listen to you. Is that your voice is more familiar with you than God's voice is familiar to you. That you are happier to hear from what you have to say than what God has to say. We are told to know the voice of God. It teaches us familiarity. It comes through intimacy and knowing the sound of his voice. That comes from an intimate relationship. You spend time with the Lord. You get accustomed to the tone of his voice. You know his voice. But sometimes we don't spend time with God enough to identify his voice. And we are learned well to listen to our own because we spend more time with us and listening to us. Let me explain. The Bible says that the Lord came to give us life and life abundantly. Amen. His leading, the scripture tells us, as a matter of fact, Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He is a good God. So why do we find ourselves in so much trouble? Why do we find ourselves in such a mess in our lives sometimes? It's not because he is absent. Remember, his silence does not reveal his absence. God is omnipresent. He's always there. He promised you he would never leave you or abandon you. So why do we end up in mud puddles all the time? Why is it that at the altar we spend more time complaining of the things we're going through and we've gotten into than worshiping the Lord? When we just read, he's the one that leads us through quiet waters, through green pastures. He prospers us from glory to glory. So why then the big mess? I'll take a gander today and say that sometimes it's because we're listening to the wrong voice. Amen? Now, I need to say that in life, trouble comes. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. He promised us in the scripture that he will bore our griefs and sorrows. So we're going to have trouble. Sometimes it has nothing to do with self-infliction. It's just because we live in a broken world. So we're bound to face situations and sorrows. Every day has its sorrows, the scripture teaches us. So we know that the natural things come. Sometimes we go through stuff. And I'm not saying that everything we go through that's negative is because of us. No, but there are things in our lives that we did not have to get to if we had just listened to God. But since we're not used to listening to his voice or identifying his voice, we end up in a big mess. The Bible says in James 1 and 13, I'm going to hurry up, it's getting late. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. That is, when you hear God, God is never going to lead you into a mud puddle. He's never going to lead you in a situation that's going to bring you bitterness. He adds no sorrow, the Bible says. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted by his own evil desire. He is dragged away and enticed. It clarifies clearly in this passage that temptation comes from personal desires and not God speaking to us. It's another voice that we listen to that gets us into this mud puddles. It tells us that temptation occurs when individuals like us are lured by our own desires, by our own leading, not by God. In Scripture, we find so many characters, so many people that miss so many blessed opportunities because they did not listen to the voice of God. They listened to themselves. In Scripture, we have so many men and women in Scripture that made mistakes in their lives and caused themselves great loss because they listened to the counsel of their own minds, their own voice, instead of identifying God's voice for their lives. They suffered great consequences and missed many blessed opportunities. So they had to learn self-mastery. And you and I have to learn self-mastery. That is to know yourself. Know who you really are. Know how strong you can really be to outvoice the Lord in your life. The Bible demands that from us. That we learn how to take authority over who we are. Listen to what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1 and 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of spirit, a spirit of power, love, and what? And what? Self-discipline. Whose responsibility is that? Whose? God's not going to do it for you. God's not going to do it for you. It's self-discipline. Paul said, I train my body. Some of you guys go to the gym without failure every day. Yet you can't train yourself to come to church constantly. Some of you guys are so disciplined at doing other things, yet you cannot discipline yourself to read the Bible daily. See, you guys are so used to running 30 miles a day, you're faithful to your track record, but yet you cannot get yourself to bend your knee for 15 minutes on a daily basis to pray. Come on, church! Self-discipline. Self-discipline. You can't blame somebody else for the lack of self-discipline. You can't blame God. Why am I in this mess? When you said you would lead me, I can hear God saying, well, am I? Lord, how did I get in this mess? And God crosses his arms and says, don't look at me. I didn't say a thing in this conversation. You didn't let me talk. And this applies in all areas of our lives, ladies and gentlemen. The Scripture teaches us to self-discipline, to learn the ability to control our own impulses, emotions, and behaviors. To learn to identify what we can do. Sometimes you say, well, I'm praying about it. Let me pick on the girls a little bit. I like that boy. But he's not saved. I know, but I feel the Lord is telling me that the Lord ain't telling you nothing. I feel that if I witness to him, he's going to. You're not the Savior, nothing. Do you love me? Yes, you do. Of course you do. A young couple, that house is $500,000. I feel God's going to give it to. He's going to give you nothing. He's not going to give you nothing. Oh, I feel God is leading. You know, I find it scary, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to me carefully. And this is a serious note. I know I'm being a little funny with you guys, but I'm teaching you something. We should tremble when you stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. I don't take that lightly in my church or anywhere. To stand up and be bold and say, the Lord told me. Thus saith the Lord. That's a powerful statement to make. And God forbid that you would forge his signature on something. That you would say something he did not say.
You're encouraged by televangelists all the time. Oh, try it. Just keep trying. It's kind of like the more weights you lift, the better you'll get. It's not a guessing game. You don't learn it like chess. This is divine revelation. It comes from having an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit and the Lord. You don't guess what God is going to say. God speaks and He speaks. And so it's something to be careful about. The biggest problem we face many times that we are saying to ourselves, thus say the Lord, I believe God is telling me this, and I believe God is telling me that to go here, do that, date him, date her, buy this or buy that, and even more important things when it comes to our spiritual walk with God. We speak in His name when God has nothing and God has said nothing. Then times of regret will come to your life and God says, don't look at me. That's what His silence will do. It'll train you to identify your own voice. It'll learn you to have self-mastery. You need to look at yourself and know how strong your desires are for something that you will override His voice and still do it. But it's not Him telling you to do it. It's your own desire. This will save you, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know. I'm taking this home. You can leave it there. I'll pick it up. This will grow any Christian. This will grow any believer to learn self-mastery, self-discipline, to identify your voice and the voice of others for sure. But more dangerous than other voices is your own. To not let yourself convince yourself that it's God speaking to you when truly God is being silent. You need to remember that there are ways that seem right to a man, the scripture says, but in the end they lead to death. The Bible says that a good man's steps or the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. It's God who has to speak to you. And God sometimes is quiet. Not so that you can start rambling on, but that you can begin to fine-tune your ear and say, Father, speak to me. I'm not moving until I hear your voice. Remember Elijah when he was up in that cave? The Bible says there came a great storm. He surely said, that's the voice of God. Ran out, and the Lord was not in that firestorm. There are huge winds coming, tempests coming, and he went outside and he said, surely this is the Lord, and it was not God. That at the end of that story, we are told that all of a sudden a gentle whisper came, and that was the voice of God. The Lord will come in any style, however loud or soft he wants. The important thing is that you learn to identify it. He may scream at you, praise God, but he may whisper in your ear, praise God. But the important of this is that we learn to identify. You're about to make a big decision with your marriage at home. You're about to make a big purchase. You're about to start a business. You're about to whatever important. You're about to do something. Be careful that you're sitting there saying, well, God told me. Remember, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. You can test that voice easily by simply looking for the proof of the voice. Did you know that when God speaks, things materialize? No? Have you not read the scripture in Isaiah that says his word will not come back void? No? That's not in your Bible? Did you not know that when God speaks, things come into order and they materialize, they happen? Because his word will not be ignored. His word, the elements of this world and anything and everything will obey the word of God, and it will produce for which it was sent. There was a time when the Lord was arguing with the city Jews, and they were calling him a heretic because he said he came in the name of the Lord, and they didn't believe who he was. And he was speaking to them, and they were calling him a liar, and they were fixing to really hurt on him for taking that position. But he said, listen, you know, if you were mine, you'd believe me what I'm telling you, but you don't believe me. If you don't believe me, look at the things that I do. Jesus saying, if you don't believe that I'm speaking the word of God, then look at the produce of the word. Look at the harvest of what is spoken. You can easily find out when God has spoken to your life by looking at the fruit that word leaves behind. If you end up bankrupt, sorry. That wasn't God. You end up in a bad relationship, that was not God. You end up in great error over this or the other, that was not God speaking to you. You can look at proof. You can find out when God speaks to you. Because what he speaks will come to pass. Remember the Lord spoke to the prophets. He said, if the prophet speaks and it does not come to pass, then the Lord has not spoken. He has spoken presumptuously, the Bible says. But if what he speaks does come to pass, then the Lord hath said. All these things we can learn, ladies and gentlemen, when God chooses to be silent. When God says nothing, you think that it's just a time of him taking a rest from you or trying to regain his strength to be able to work things out for you or has no interest in you. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with bringing you closer. It has everything to do with a father loving his son, his daughter, to mature her in a walk with him. It has everything to do with equipping you more and more on a daily basis to grow you to greater levels in your knowledge of him and your walk with him. When God is silent, the quick thing is to say he doesn't care. The grown-up thing is to say, what's he doing in my life by being still? What are you teaching me, Father? You think I'm going to walk away because you say nothing? I'm staying right here, Father. Because I know that what you said, maybe you're not talking to me right now, but what you told me yesterday, I still hold it in my heart. Every promise that God made you yesterday, even if he says nothing today, still stands true. It will not change. Maybe he's teaching you again, I say, as I begin to close this morning, to teach you how not to listen to yourself so much anymore, but to learn to listen to his leading. If it's true that the scripture says that he came to give us life and life abundant, then why are we going through such a mess? Why are we going through such great troubles? Again, I say, sometimes it's because we live in a broken world. I get it. We have no control over the economy. But God has control over your home. There's things that happen. But I'm speaking of the things that don't have to happen. That happen because you fail to listen and to wait for his voice. Would you stand to your feet with me? I don't know where you're at this morning or what you're going through. Maybe you've been going through a silent time. You've been asking God over something, and now his silence is causing you to articulate things in your own heart. Well, maybe if I do this, maybe if I go there, maybe if I do this and the other. And you're beginning to speak to yourself. Be careful. Be careful. That's all I'm saying. Be careful. I'm not saying that every decision you make is going to lead you to havoc and chaos. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying be careful.
because we can get real loud. How many know that they can get real loud? How many confess today and say, look, Pastor, I can get real loud with myself. I can really lead myself into a lot of stuff. I can convince myself to do stuff. I'm unbelievable. It's okay. That's what his silence will do. It'll get you to understand, to learn self-mastery. To learn, to say, you know what? I know that this sounds really good. I know that my idea will work. I know that if I do this, plan this, say this, go here, go there, buy that, whatever, I know it'll work. And you're so convincing to yourself, and here you go, and it explodes. All God is saying is, listen, I will lead you through still waters. I will lead you from glory to glory. But don't expect me to take the blame when you choose and you listen to your own voice. Let's mature. Let's listen to God. When he doesn't speak, what a great time to grow up. Amen? What a great time to stretch out in the Lord. Maybe you've made mistakes and it's bringing you a witness today. Like, man, I should have waited. I know what I did. Listen, God can get you out of that. What's important is that you are here today learning this so that you won't do that again. I do everything I can. I promise you, I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm great at convincing myself. I'm phenomenal. I'm better than you. I could talk to myself and bend me any which way I want real quick just if I talk to myself in the mirror. So I stay away from the mirror. Because I don't want to hear what I want. I don't want to hear what my own passions and desires are. Remember, a man is led by his own evil desires. And I don't want to do that. Father, speak to me. What do you have for me? You're being quiet. Say something, Lord, and I'm going to fine-tune my ears to hear your voice. I'm not moving until you talk to me, Lord. Moses said, I won't go anywhere unless your glory goes with us. Unless you say, move, Lord, I'll move. The steps of a righteous man. The steps of a righteous man. The steps of a righteous man are ordained of the Lord. Let us learn to walk, the scripture says, in step with the Spirit. For those, the Bible says, are the sons of God.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.